Fuck this, Kyle.
Hold on, Kyle. I haven't turned it on yet.
Kyle.
Okay, yeah, I turned it on a while ago.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is Kendrick.
Hi, Kyle. Kyle Hagen here.
And Joe Quick.
This is Sit Sock. I don't know what episode. Don't say it so we can always rearrange them later. Put that in a cup holder.
Okay, so this definitely isn't episode 5.
It's an episode of an integer between some number and some other number. And if you mean that way, I'm sure they can't hear it at all.
Get your shit together.
No, okay. My cup holders are...
We're going to hope that this works.
We're going to pray that this works.
How's
they're going to hope. I'm going to pray.
It's pointing like this way at
that's
you.
Perfect. Okay. That's perfect. Because I'm the important one. Because I'm the technician.
That's also true.
So what I did was I rearranged the thing in the Google Keep to put two things next to each other. So I'm going to start with one, and then we're going to segue into the other.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
So you're going to be guiding us today.
This
shit show.
Only because we were talking about it at the end of the day on Wednesday, and we were like, always record. Record.
That's so
always record.
Just for you listeners out there who weren't here with us Wednesday, the topic of today's conversation is Dungeons & Dragons style alignments of good and evil and lawful and chaotic and the combinations therein.
And I'll tell you what my twist will be later.
Ah, a twist.
There's a twist.
If you M. Night Shyamalan this.
I'm not going to M. Night Shyamalan
I will.
Wait, are you going to like Sixth Sense M. Night Shyamalan? Or
no, going I'm going to use, I'm going to News Opinion Show segue.
We're talking about news, and then the Holocaust came back. Holocaust! Yay!
Someone erase that number of podcasts since we made a Holocaust joke. Back to zero, everybody. That's the sound of erasing things. Where did we jump into this on the other day? Because
we were talking about the system of points. The sesame points thing?
Oh, yeah, that crazy Chinese thing. Sorry, that wonderful, powerful, great Chinese concept for
ancient traditional
fearlessness.
Culture.
China, give us money.
Yeah, we love you, China. Please don't invade me. I mean, no, we don't
like,
love any foreign
invade
nationals.
Your, invade
we don't
your
love
person,
any foreign
like,
nationals. We love America. Don't get Moa.
Nobody, let's just have a general rule. Nobody invade Kendrick.
How about everybody, everybody's cool.
Bitch be cool,
say
bitch
cool.
Be cool.
Bitch be cool. Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction. Okay, so anyway, we were discussing, that kind of jumped rather abruptly into what it means to be good, what it means to be evil, and then it was the moral realism was what it was.
Yes, moral realism came up because moral realism is that idea that there is a definitive good and evil, and that's like kind of that D&D alignment system where...
That's pretty critical, I think, to the D&D alignment system, so I want to talk about that for a little bit. Moral realism is the belief that there is good, there are things that are inherently and intrinsically good, and there are things that are inherently and intrinsically evil, and that it's possible to discern which is which.
And we got into the whole paladin discussion, so we're playing
a second edition
D&D campaign where I refuse to acknowledge the fact that moral realism is a thing, but I need to because I'm being a dick.
Because in that world...
Because my counter-argument originally was that you can worship a god that doesn't have any good or evil associated with them, but that doesn't affect the fact that moral realism is indeed in part of D&D.
At least in D&D. We should clarify.
You know, in most of this discussion, we'll be talking about the alignments as they are in Dungeons & Dragons, and then maybe pulling that out extrapolating outside of the Dungeons & Dragons world.
So the key thing that we were looking in there was that moral realism is definitely a thing. There is good in this world. You can smell it as a paladin and be like, that's good, that's not, fuck that guy, give that man a medal, like automatically. There's none of that delightful moral grayness that is our current
world. Detect evil is an actual spell,
yeah,
where you're like,
that's
can see like this aura of their alignment,
yeah, you can detect whether someone is good or bad, right?
Yeah.
So that's just,
I think the fact that they have an alignment structure just tells you right off the bat. There's good, there's evil.
And remember, though, this is the other thing we were troubling with, and I don't want to spend the entire time talking about what we talked about. I'd like to sort of redo that conversation, but the thing we were talking about was that the alignment structure is not prescriptive so much as it is descriptive.
I thought we had determined that it can go either way, depending on
stumbling blocks show up when you try to make it prescriptive, where you're like, this character, you know, you, what does it mean to be chaotic is not as helpful as that guy's chaotic.
Okay.
And that it's, when we found that list, it's like, okay, well, the attributes that make up someone who is chaotic does not necessarily mean all chaotic people are the same.
No.
It just means that there's a bundle of attributes that you can be applied to someone, which means...
Would you say that it takes a few of the characteristics that make someone chaotic to make
Let's go back
chaotic.
To dive bars.
Dive bars!
I don't mean topping. I mean, let's just go to a dive bar.
Oh, okay. I will pull over at the next
Well, it is Friday.
It is Friday, and no one can expect us to work here.
We
don't
have a chicken picnic.
Yeah. Ooh, we can go to one that has chicken dinners.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's one by a strip club over there I know about. That's.
This is the same one that spurred that international conversation, I
believe. No, actually, they don't have chicken. Oh, okay. They only have cigarettes in their vending machines. Next to the
and condoms crackers. And candy and crackers.
Oh, did they?
No, they didn't. But I added that because I like it.
That would be better if there was. It's like, wow, it's a one-stop shop. I'm gonna hang out here. Okay.
So yeah, so descriptive is a little bit better because it can be used to say, hey, someone did something. Well, what is this?
It like, makes it easier to be like, my character does this, this, and this, and this, and behaves this way. You're like, oh, he's chaotic neutral. As opposed to, I'm going to create the platonic form of chaotic neutrality. And you're like, that doesn't work.
You do have to pick an alignment before you make your character, and then that can shift during the game. So, like, there is a little bit to say about how you think those things are.
Right, but I don't think that you should. I think that if we do it, but it's the system's not built well for saying, I'm going to create a lawful good character. Because if you don't create, like, a backstory and some underlying characteristics to support that, it's going to be a pretty weak character.
Yeah, but there's classes in the that way need where you have specific.
To do, if you want to do that character class, like Paladin, you have to be
Yeah, or Druid has right? to be neutral. Neutral Ranger has to be chaotic good.
Okay.
Like, all there's descriptive.
So, with that slight limitation, yeah, you have to pick your alignment first, but I've almost never done a character where I've started to design him based around what his, like, character alignment I went with a story and a guy and fleshed out a.
That's kind of just subjective to whoever you're talking to. That's fine. Like, it can help people design their characters. Think of a backstory. Like, this character is chaotic good. Like, because they had a run-in with the law, and that's what I want to play this kind of character. That's like anarchic, you know. And
sure, but I feel like that in that sense, it's because of the colloquial use. That we have, and then when you try to analyze it too much,
well, I don't even think it's colloquial because the book will tell you each one of those things. So, as a descriptive, from the descriptive point of view, you have a source. So it's not like we needed to, you know, because that's what we did is we looked up the definitions and said, oh, okay, we were way off.
Well,
like,
never stopped us from talking about
it. No. I know. I'm not saying that it did. I'm just saying it was really nice because then we could we started talking about, like, oh, okay, Punisher is like neutral, chaotic neutral, but like Batman's chaotic good, and we were like, okay, these people fit these roles, and like it helps us understand that role a little bit better, like who we should expect and like how these alignments interact.
Why would Batman be lawful good?
No.
Versus chaotic.
Oh, okay.
Because he has a system of rules he follows, but it's just not the law.
Yeah, it's not the state approved.
It's kind of this wonderful system. Wonderful.
He does have a code of ethics that he answers to.
So then, is a corrupt cop lawful evil because he's following the law of the land and just, you know, manipulating for his own gains?
I would make the argument now that I don't think a cop. It determines anything about the person unless they're actually trying to be a cop.
Well, I think that's why one of our big stumbling blocks is that it's got to be the law of the land. But I don't think that's necessarily the best way to think about lawful.
Yeah, you're right.
And this is where we got stuck on this before because it was like the guy who, you know, okay, for example, Malcolm Reynolds. Because I like grabbing people out of pop culture. It's a lot easier to grab a person instead of an ephemeral blob.
Sure, yeah.
You just can't get your hands in any of the sexual organs of an ephemeral blob. So getting your hands all up in there.
And rape jokes.
No.
Whoa. Hey.
Guys, it was a straight up rape joke.
It was not.
There was so much rape. He was talking about rape. He said, my rape hands are going to rape someone. Rape is what he said.
I had a drink and
go back, listeners, and go back and listen to when he said that.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
This is the part of the show where Kendrick jettisons himself from the car.
Ah, damn it, no.
Why?
I don't know. It's going to happen every show tonight, too. We set a standard.
Step out.
Someone's got to bail.
Okay, so rape jokes aside, you're right. It's easier to grab a character than it is an idea, like a class or a...
So, like, for Malcolm Reynolds, is he chaotic? He's pretty predictable. So I think that's where, you know...
Predictable is lawful. Stupidity can determine predictability.
Can what?
Stupidity can determine predictability. I don't know if that has
to... What I mean is he's got a very strict code of ethics, code of conduct that often compromises his own personal individual gains.
Okay.
which in that concept means he's aspiring to
it's
a
about,
higher.
It's you're right. It's about community versus self.
That was part of the thing. What it really was, I think that lawful versus chaotic should almost be like communalist versus individualist.
Yeah.
As another way.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Think about it.
I agree.
Which is actually what the source material did say. A lot of lawful people are considering the group, the community, the society, the culture, the law, the tribe, whatever, above themselves. The chaotic are more about the individual because they say the only success comes from individual excelling. Which really gives you a totally different perspective. Because then in that definition, Batman's definitely chaotic good because he only cares about the individual. His individual self and his methodology.
His version of justice.
Yeah. I suppose in that sense you could see Malcolm X as chaotic good too because...
I don't know. Because I still think that we're not utilizing the neutral area enough. I mean...
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I guess Malcolm Reynolds would be chaotic neutral, huh?
I think he'd be neutral good. Because he has a code of ethics, but it's a small community, so it's like this kind of weird gray area where like he's not really communal, but he's individualistic.
He's extremely individualist, but it's about his individual group.
Exactly. So like,
that's not
you kind of you kind of just know he's a good guy. Like, he's,
I guess we can say Malcolm Reynolds is neutral good.
Now, and everybody who heard that just now, who wants to argue with us, make your own podcast.
Aaron.
I mean,
call us.
No, I'm just kidding. Just comment. Comment on the thread.
Actually, comment. We watch those uncomfortably close. So if someone wants to just comment,
don't look at them every 30 minutes. That's stupid. Why would you say that?
I keep it open and refresh it. I've got a script that just refreshes it.
That just refreshes
it. It tells me if there's a comment.
Wow.
It's a pleasant
don't do shot. That to yourself.
No one ever's commented so far.
Okay.
Where's the sad music? We need the sad Hulk music. Although we can't hum too into that too soon.
I think that was enough. That was good.
That was good.
We got the idea across.
Yep. Sad Hulk Wayne. So
we were basically determined that lawful and chaotic are kind of like misleading, and that when you use them, you have to think about their like, you know, context with regard to like how they can fit in any context. It's kind of a double context.
Precisely, and then we also didn't really explore as much the neutrality. That's something you said.
And I think neutrality is important because a guy who takes gold for a thing and like pushes for more gold is not definitely items definitely not evil. They're not good. That's the thing.
I would say that they're not either necessarily.
That's what I say. So when I was first described, like, because I was as an original D&D player, I was terrified to ask for more gold because I didn't want to become evil. And then people are like, no, you can ask gold. For paid for your services. I mean, you fucking just slayed the monster for this dude. Like, you just put your life on the line for this shit. Like, that justification alone merits that you get rewarded.
Skills.
Yeah,
this is your life, man. Yeah. Come on, monetize.
It's like superhero that wants to get paid for his shit. Is he evil? No, he's not evil. He's just not. Maybe he's not like good. He's not doing it for the righteousness of like whatever good does.
Well,
I don't know, the virtue as its own reward.
Depending on the individual, he may have to eat at the end of the day. So can't.
And we're not all millionaires.
Yeah, not all superheroes are millionaires. Spider-Man.
Not all millionaires are superheroes.
Not all Spider-Man are spiders.
Not all spiders are spiders. What if everything's spiders?
Everything's spiders.
Oh, God, everything is spiders.
That was a reference from the internet.
We're on the internet. You get to see
it. I'm bootstrapping us.
Oh.
No, that's not that.
Guys, I bootstrapped again.
It doesn't mean that.
I don't think that...
Uh-oh.
Is that Doctor Who reference?
I bootstrapped. It's a reference to time travel. Doctor Who did not invent bootstrapping.
No, but that's not what that means.
You don't mean. Kendrick thinks that I don't understand a word, and he's set on it. He doesn't understand that I was just trolling.
Oh.
Trolling. Trolling.
So anyway, the neutrality between chaotic and lawful is that sort of following laws when it suits them, going with the society and the culture when it suits them, but then when it suits them, acting for purely individualist.
We determine that neutral is like that indifferent guy. Like, the guy who's like, I just kind of, you know...
I keep my nose clean.
Yeah, and like, I don't...
I don't bump my nose off at the cake.
Like, every, like...
I'll take some money.
Every bartender who wants to keep his bar open that doesn't permit illegal activity happening in his bar is kind of like a neutral character.
Precisely, but he's the one who... He still lets you gamble.
Yeah.
No fighting.
I mean, he still lets unsavory characters there, but, like, as soon as he's... You know, as soon as something crazy is about to happen, he either gets out himself or, like, you know, is like, guys, come on, take it outside.
Yeah.
You don't need to do this in here.
Get out of here. We got gambling going on here.
He's reputable enough with the city that, you know, the city guard don't hate him.
Right.
And he's reputable enough with the unsavory types don't push him for money. Like, You kind of dip your toes.
You could probably still buy him off.
Yeah, yeah.
If you give him enough money.
Yeah. And he would also, you know, inform if something, you know.
If you didn't give him enough money.
If you didn't, well, yeah.
If the coin was right, yeah.
And see, I think that's interesting because that neutral area kind of does sit around, like, wealth. It kind of sits around, like, well, what you want. And not like money wealth, but like,
yeah,
like kind of like that idea of where you get your power from, and
it's where your moral authority comes from, I guess, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like for you, you're so indifferent to the laws and the people and the whatever that money.
Are you talking about me specifically?
Yeah, you specifically okay. talking because you're neutral. No, the neutral man, and N man.
The N man.
N squared man.
N squared.
N squad. The squaw would say that, you know, he's, well, of course he understands the word that, I mean, he's not stupid or necessarily greedy. He's just like, yeah, there's laws here. The laws can bend. Oh, there's angry guys here, but I have a gun. You know, like it's mm-hmm. it's that you live in this middle spot, and it doesn't, you could probably also talk him into doing something too. Like if you were charismatic enough.
And that's why I don't know how much characteristics play into alignment personally, but I see what you're saying.
All I'm saying is that we're using money as a placeholder for ways to.
We've brushed it twice, so I wanted to be sure. Because we were kind of talking about easily manipulable and how that has to deal with intelligence due to stupidity.
You don't stand for anything with any great sincerity, so you might get swept up in a revolution, but then you also might bail on it. So
yeah, I agree. That's a great way to look at it, because you're malleable. You're morally malleable.
Which sounds bad, but I don't know that it really necessarily is. It just seems like you don't have any permanent, zealotry.
A lot of that, like, moral...
Zealotry.
What is it? Moral realism?
Relativism.
Realism was countered by moral relativism. Like, in our conversations, it's like, everything is kind of like a person-to-person basis, which is why I was having so much trouble playing a paladin. Because I was like, no, because I don't see it that way. And you're like, no, you're...
You don't really,
there's no way to others see it because it's real. Like,
in this world,
there's good and bad, and that's why you're wrong.
And here, you're like, well, he was a Nazi, but he saved 1,000 Jews, but he killed 3 Jews, but he beat his wife. But he also, you're like, okay, let me tally
the brick, bricks in the bag or whatever. Like, I'm going to beat you with 10 bricks in this bag. And you start putting bricks in, and then that 5 bricks, he says, nah, I'm really just going to do 5 bricks. And are you happy about that?
Do you thank him? He's still going to beat you with a sack of bricks.
Yeah. And like then we countered and said, are you going to die from it? Like, is this sack of bricks going to murder you or not? And then it went to like, I'm going to shoot you in the face. And after you load the clip, he's like, I'm just going to shoot you right in the arm. Like, you're like, oh my God, thank you. Because now I'm alive. Oh God, this is better than before. But with a bag of bricks, it's a little bit more like, I don't know if I will die from 1 brick or 2 bricks or 50 bricks. Probably die from 50 bricks.
Well, you might die after one if he gets a good shot.
That's what I mean. It's like, you might die after one. If 50 bricks are dropped on you, you'll probably die.
Yeah.
And if someone's big enough to swing 50 bricks at you, they're probably going to swing them, like, with the strength of a thousand suns.
If swing behind it, it's going to have some velocity. And anyone who works from home can go ahead and do the math on that.
Yeah.
We're talking about any kind of standard, brick.
Cinder block or brick?
Not cinder block.
Red rock?
Red brick.
Okay.
If this is Britain, it'd be a half brick. For some reason, they've all got half bricks and fucking each other.
Is everything in half?
Insert Herculean strength, and then you do your math.
You just do the math. It's not that hard. You just get, you know, assuming a sack, a burlap sack, like about the size of maybe a coffee sack.
That's not gonna hold a bunch of bricks.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you have
to be bigger. Well, what if it's, so, like, okay, if we're bringing it back to D&D, what if it's a bag of holding?
Well, then it wouldn't have any weight.
Oh, I guess that's true,
That would be pointless.
So you'd just be smacking it.
And you can't dump stuff out of a bag of holding. You have to reach in and grab it,
which is
annoying, because then you have to grab out 50 individual bricks. Yeah. That would just be fucking dumb.
That's ridiculous, Joe.
God damn it, Joe.
Well, I'll excuse myself.
Portable hole, on the other hand, though.
No, we can't have more than one bailing. That's just silly.
Was it use rope thing? You could, like, open the portal with the rope, and as soon as they tug on the rope, it just pulls the bricks out of the portal onto them? That would work, right? Like, you have that magic trick.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So anyway.
There's a magic spell that uses rope, and, like, you can use a, like, climb into a rope portal.
Oh, yeah, the rope to nowhere.
Yeah,
or
sure.
Something like that, yeah. And it might just be cold.
Bro. Come on, we're talking about spells now, Kendrick.
No, we're not, because we're going to move it on back, okay? We're moving on back.
Moderator Kendrick.
Ding-a-ding-a.
Moderator Kendrick. Mm. It's a time and a place for mucking around, and our podcast
don't
is literally...
Don't hug me, I'm
scared.
No, what I was going to say is, what I wanted to tie this into, the alignment conversation, was...
Is this a Segway?
Yeah, no.
Segway!
I think that's a Stratus, actually. I think actually, is that a Stratus?
It is a Chet Chrysler.
Damn, I was really hoping that it would have been something that sounds kind of like Segway. Anyway, compare and contrast the alignment system with the Briggs-Meyer personality test we were talking about the other day. Boom. Same thing, we're going to pick 12 people into 16 individual characteristics.
Well, to be quite frank, I don't know all of the things you can do. It's like intellectual versus... what the fuck is it? Okay, this is the first time we're doing phone references on this wonderful podcast.
I knew I would be able to get you to do that.
Why?
I like to compare the personality test to the alignment.
No. I mean, why did you think you could get me to pull my phone out? Like that?
Because I couldn't remember what they all were either. I heard there's four letters, and they all correspond to different stupid things.
Yeah.
Binary opposition.
There's actually eight letters, because there's one for each. There's four slots.
Right, but there's four slots.
Your slot.
And each is a binary of one letter.
Yes, I'm sorry. So the final is... Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So the first one is introvert, extrovert, right?
Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
The second one is...
introvert, extrovert, sensing, intuition.
Sensing versus intuition.
Thinking versus feeling.
Thinking and feeling.
And judging versus perceiving.
Judging versus perceiving. So, the problem is that, with the Briggs-Meyer is that, which I would prefer that they don't send me any money. They keep saying their name, though, but I don't really care for the system very much.
Okay, I'm going to say Briggs-Meyer gave us money.
So Mick Breyer's personality pest.
He's just eclectic. Just let him do his thing. I don't know what that word means.
I am eclectic, but I think you were going for dyslexic.
No, I know what I meant. I said.
Okay.
Okay. So
basically, those characteristics boil down to the idea is you can basically park someone in one of 16 characters.
Wonderful personality types.
Sure. Based off of whether they've got each of those binaries switched. So it's. But the problem is the assumption that everybody exists as one set of those, and that, for example, introvert, extrovert, you are in one discrete value. You are either introverted or extroverted.
And it's really hard, because I took one the other day just for funsies. It was a free online one, and like they're not as good, obviously. You should probably pay for them if you really want better results, but I don't know if it matters.
I don't know.
Quote, unquote.
Better results because you paid for them and they've mean more to you. If you're at like zero or one, it literally takes the, like, because you get like, it's kind of like a sliding scale, but after they slide the scale, they just say, boom, this is it. Like, if you're on one side, you're on one side. If you're on one side, the other. So like, they have some criteria for determining if you're equal, because I was equal for... judging, perceiving, I think, and they were just like, "Oh, judging," and I was like, "How did you pick that?" And they're like, "Don't worry about it." They just put their finger to my lips, and then they put the chloroform rag over their finger, and then I woke up and I had a kidney.
Oh,
and so, guys, I really need a kidney. So it turns out, I need two.
You know,
well, I got this extra one.
You might need one
if you
put the car inside.
But it is, and it's another whole system of absolutes, almost, of like you're this, or you're not. And I agree, like, it kind of feels like an alignment system, but I'm wondering, because an alignment system is typically more about the actions that you do, right?
Well, if you got that grid open, you can see where each character has characteristics that they just sort of apply, and then they named them.
Mm-hmm.
They named each of the 16. I don't know if Mace fired an edit, but someone went through and named them all.
So, this is their name. They just have the letters associated with them. But basically, what Kendrick's trying to say, I think, is that, you know, the Myers-Briggs played a lot of, like, D&D. The guys from Myers-Briggs test played a lot of D&D, and they were like, let's apply this to humanity.
Well, the original concept of the Biggs and Wedge is that they are...
two characters that reoccur in Final Fantasy games.
Yeah. If you don't know that, I'm not signing it. Fuck off.
And happy Star Wars Day, everyone, even though today
I
put the chronology in it, but I don't care because I'm happy.
Okay, well, happy Star Wars Day.
We're recording this on a day, and that day today
corresponds to Star Wars.
Is the day
that
Force Awakens
released. Maybe you would.
If you're from another country, then you should probably just move to America.
If you can.
Hey-oh! Just become a refugee.
I don't want
this
to
like, this went really far off the rails. Okay.
So all I'm saying is that the original point of that was to try and group people so they could determine what like interplay between those characteristics were, so you could figure out if you're gonna have strife in the workplace or who had what kind of characteristics.
Like a paladin trying to adventure with like a rogue who's evil. Never sure. work because yeah, they cannot party.
And so they know they need to fire someone, and it's probably going to be the rogue because everyone knows paladins are better.
Rogues undo traps, man.
Paladins just take traps in the face.
They will die. They can die.
And so can a rogue if a paladin stabs them, so.
And so can a paladin if a rogue stabs.
Rogue can't stab paladin if you got armor.
That's some fucking dumb. magic and poison.
He's got a dagger plus two.
Yeah, it's mad. This paladin has magic canceling armor. Duh. Do you know anything about anything?
Magic canceling armor doesn't exist. It's a spell, and you can't imbue armor with it.
Yes, you can. Well, but we're using my version of the tabletop game. We're not using D&D. I rewrote the rules. I call
we're
it Kendrick
play
D.
The Kendrick D, which is a new game. We're going to play it.
Dungeons and Kendrick.
So it's just like, at the end of every dungeon, there's just a giant head of Kendrick and you have to fight.
Show me what you got. Good
morning. All right. That got disturbing.
Yeah, it got weird fast.
My tentacle beard.
Even if my head was up in the air, my beard would still be touching the ground. So
yeah, that would be just gross. That's just
what a beard.
So when you guys were having this discussion previously, were you just talking about basically the difference between, like, lawful good and
I got caught up on the like.
Well, I think that was just some
moral realism.
Okay.
Well, and the key thing was we were sitting there like we should have recorded this. So I don't want to focus too much.
So
on what we're talking
in the
about
future,
that,
in the future,
well, no,
we may
just saying.
Be recording Sitsock anywhere we
yeah,
decide to talk.
Yeah, there's a good chance
so be ready
that
for
I'll
that.
Just start recording out of nowhere and that'll be life.
This is your life now.
Recording or stand up.
So I just wanted to ruin it because I thought it was a fun conversation. So
I was just thinking, it's like because we. Generally, when we talk about, well, in my history, when we talk about alignments in D&D, it's always generally focused around, like, lawful, chaotic, or neutral. Because I feel like unlawful and evil gets really underplayed.
It's funny that you say that, because in 4th edition, they wouldn't let you be evil, because they assumed that your party was going to be party, and that they didn't want, like, as...
Well, it's the same issue that I have with the Star Wars D20 system. In that, I'm trying to think of it. If it's Star Wars D&D or D20, I think they're two different systems. Regardless, the one that I played, you were not allowed, like, you played your character, and you had, like, a small chart at the bottom of your page that had how many dark side points you'd accrued by doing things that were evil. Like, if you just went up, I got a dark side point for accidentally coup de grace-ing a stormtrooper.
You know,
as a
I don't
Jedi.
Think you accidentally coup de grace
him. I shot him in the face while he was on the ground.
That's just a crit hit, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to... Because they have a communicator in their helmet, I thought. So I shot him to kill him and stop him from calling in the rest of the army. And I got dark side points for that.
Who gave him that to you?
Steve. So, well, the point is, if you get to so many dark side points, you can't play your character anymore. According to the rules.
Yeah, well, that happens in Dark Heresy. If you get too insane or too corrupt, you can't play your character anymore.
Right. Well, my point for that is, like, for Dark Heresy, that works because most of the characters you're playing as are based around one sole faction in that universe. But there's also another... They introduced... What was it? Black Crusade that has...
With the Jedi, though. With the Jedi, though, you don't really... I mean,
The Jedi, I can understand.
If you become dark side, then you're not Jedi. And that there's not been a story of someone who goes dark side and stays working on the same team.
Sure.
Once you go dark side, you kind of bugger off and start killing children.
Yes, that I can understand.
Hey, whoa, too soon.
But there's a lot to be investigated with the rise and fall of a character. I feel like that's a great, like, story arc there.
Which I think is what they're trying to symbolize with that, which is where you're like, oh, he accrued some dark side points. Now, the real bummer is if you can't ever get rid of him.
Right, well, they had to well, you can, it just takes
so
time.
So that's the rise and fall, then.
But the issue with that is that, like, if you don't play this certain way, you don't get to play. That's basically what the rules in the book say. It's like, if you accrue too many dark side points, you lose your character, he becomes an NPC right up at you. I think that kind of pigeonholing is inherently not fun to pursue.
Well, that's true with paladins, though. You if you fuck up, you lose your paladinness, and you have to do something.
That's why they introduced an anti-paladins into, like, third edition and so on and so forth, because they're, like, people are getting sad they can't win the paladins, and they just become these janky-ass fighters. Like,
sure.
There's a lot of evil gods. Why don't we have an anti-paladin that's part of this whole...
Because the whole point is you've fallen from grace, right?
Yeah. But the idea is just, like, they had to introduce a new system into, like, Star Wars D&D, where you play as a character.
And they always do that. Like,
that's evil. You can play as the Sith, and there was a lot of cool stuff with that.
I think what it is that it's trying to uphold this concept that Jedi, for better or for worse, are moral figures.
No, it doesn't have to do with Jedi,
though. I can agree with that,
but
you don't always play as Jedi. There's scoundrels, there's rogues, there's soldiers, there's all these other characters. All of these characters don't have to have... They don't have to be Force-sensitive. They don't have to be Force-adept. They could just be guys. In the Star Wars universe.
Okay. It's an abstract concept for evil.
Like, the version I was playing, the dark side points only applied to Jedi, so I don't remember. I just must have been playing something different.
Or your DM didn't play that way because it's stupid to have a Force user gain dark side points when they're not really
Force
sensitive. I
misunderstood what you're going with. So yeah, no, that is dumb.
We're close to work. Let's kind of try to conclude this conversation.
So, I
do want to look at the testing again in another podcast because that we didn't really dig into too hard.
Yeah, I pulled that trigger.
With the Higgs-Meyer boson.
Yeah.
Higgs boson testing.
Yes. So I think in the end, Sean Bean is a form of cheese.
Yes.
As always.
We decided that Sean Bean is typecasted. Well, not typecasted. He has done a lot of different cool alignment style deaths in his life.
That's true. He's been Boromir in every alignment. Actually.
He's kind of like this neutral character until the end when he's actually good. He's changed alignments, you know, during his death, even.
I think
Ned Stark.
All over the place, but yeah.
Yeah, well, Boromir, like, he wants the ring, but, like, he knows, he understands how bad it is. So
right, but Ned Stark is totally lawful good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Paragon
but
of lawful,
when he's,
lawful good. And he gets his dick kicked over it.
Sean
and by dick kicked, he means head chopped off.
Did you guys ever see Patriot Games?
Nope.
No.
Oh, that movie's awesome. He's a bad guy in that. He's Sean Miller.
Lawfully evil. Or
oh, no. He's chaotic totally evil. Chaotic evil.
There you go. Are there any, lawful evil? Sean Bean next time, Sean Bean.
Next time.
We'll be making guesses.
Whether or not Sean.
So, anyway, the alignments in D&D are pretty cool. You have to agree with the sense of moral realism in order to, like, accept them. But, you know.
Oh my god, did you put that microphone down the whole time?
I don't know. I put the thing up.
Maybe. We probably didn't catch any of that.
Okay.
So everybody, this was Sit Sock. This is Kendrick.
Kyle.
And Joe.
Signing off.